Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life Micro Audio Summit, curated especially for soul-led coaches, healers, and online entrepreneurs to write and promote your book in the most powerful way. In this summer, you'll hear from our speakers sharing their wisdom, each one around a different aspect of the book writing journey. Each interview is content rich and packed with tips which you can implement right away so you can bring your book into the world. I'm your host and creator of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, founder of The Unbound Press, a publishing company dedicated to amplifying the voices of female authors writing transformational books. I am so excited to bring you these interviews. Let's dive in. So I am super excited to bring this particular interview to you because I know crowdfunding is something that so many would-be authors are curious about. I've had questions about it over the years, and to be honest, I've never had a particular connection or resource that I've been able to offer to people. So when I heard about the work that Charmaine Hammond and Victoria Bennett were doing in the world around crowdfunding and how they were supporting authors to use this to publish their books, but also reach more people, I was like, they need to be part of Bring Your Book to Life. Thankfully, they agreed. So yeah, I'm very excited to dive into this conversation. Let me tell you a little bit about them first. So Charmaine is an award-winning 11 times best-selling author with 5 of her own books and featured in 11 others. Victoria is a strategic marketer by training. She has over 25 years marketing experience and she ran her first successful crowdfund campaign over 9 years ago, which apparently is a very long time in crowdfunding years. They've now come together to support authors to harness the power of crowdfunding around their books so that they can create community and raise funds to publish and promote their books in the most impactful way. And in this conversation, we dive into all of that. Like, you know, what is crowdfunding? How do you get started with it? What do you need to be thinking about when you're running your own crowdfunding campaign? Oh, there are so many tips and insights in this conversation. So let me introduce you to Charmaine and Victoria. So Charmaine, Victoria, welcome to Bring Your Book to Life.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome. I'm really excited for this conversation. I was just saying before we hit record, because I've had so many writers and authors ask about crowdfunding over the years. And to be honest, I don't know much about it myself. I've got no experience of crowdfunding personally. So I guess my first question is, what is crowdfunding?
Should I take that one?
Absolutely, you can take that one.
So crowdfunding is raising a larger amount of money from lots of small amounts of money from your community or your crowd. And people think, wow, this is sort of like really, you know, modern stuff. And things like the platforms that you hear of, yes, it has really happened in sort of last of, you know, 10 to 20 years. But it's been going on for years. If you think of musicians like Mozart, his music was crowdfunded. Lots of people came together, put this money together to pay for him to actually write his music. The Statue of Liberty, that was donated, but the plinth it actually sits on was crowdfunded. So the local newspaper, they said, right, if you donate, you know, $1, we'll give you a 6-inch statue of the platform of the Statue of Liberty, and if you donate $5, we'll give you a 12-inch statue of a model of the Statue of Liberty. So you can see that, you know, we'll talk about perks later. Perks have been around for years. Crowdfunding has been around for years, and it's enabled lots of things to happen. And actually, the modern crowdfunding, as it's called, started in the UK with a band called Marillion, and those. Older on this call know the band Marillion. The younger ones were going, like, probably Googling their parents' and their grandparents' music. But they crowdfunded album and a tour I think back in the 80s. And that's actually the history of modern crowdfunding.
Oh, wow. I love Marillion. I used to love their music. So obviously one of the older ones. Oh, I didn't know that. So why is crowdfunding so powerful for authors?
Well, having been an author now, 11-time best-selling author, and having to learn all the marketing strategies like every other author, I love crowdfunding because it does a couple of things. First of all, it helps you generate revenue, as Victoria said, for all the different elements of your book. So this could be the cost of getting your book done. It could be the cost of editing and layout and graphic design. It could also support the marketing strategy, tours, book launches, wraparound products or services. So things like, we have authors right now we're working with that are creating video training programs and card decks and calendars, that like kind of journals, all different kinds of products. And then there's the whole ongoing marketing and relaunching of the book. So it can cover so many elements of the book publishing, marketing, launching, and beyond. But then there's the whole piece that Victoria mentioned about the crowd, that you're actually building a crowd. And this is one of the toughest things for authors, is that unless we have other people's crowds to tap into, we are constantly promoting our book to people who already have a copy and love us dearly, but don't want to keep buying our books. And it's essential that we continue to get our message and our marketing out to other people's audiences. That's what crowdfunding does so beautifully. And it builds excitement before the book is even launched.
So do you have to have an existing like community or crowd before you even think about crowdfunding? Like, how does it work?
So one of the things, and it actually adds on to what Charmaine was saying, is you have to identify who is your target audience for your book. So if I think back to some of the authors that we've worked with, we had one author who was writing a book for young adults. So she actually knew nobody in that space at all. I think that's fair to say. So, you know, she didn't have an existing community or crowd. But then we also had some other people that we've worked with who, by identifying their target audience and how they wanted them to feel after reading the book, they actually changed their target audience. Mm-hmm. And they actually ended up rewriting their book because they realized that what they'd written didn't actually have the impact they wanted it to have. So actually, you know who I'm talking about, Charmaine. She's just literally launching her campaign. I think it was last week she pressed go on the button, but she actually chose different audience. And she was somebody who said, I can't reach out to anybody in my community. She said, "I there's nobody I can reach out to." So you've got that side of people, but then you have people who have their crowds. And it, as Charmaine says, it may be, you know, a relatively small crowd. So if you're a coach, you might have all your existing clients you've serviced. But the thing about that crowd is typically that's about a third of your crowd. Mm. And what you need to do is you need to activate them and get them excited. But then they have a crowd, so they know people. So you've got to encourage them to build out to that next third. And then the final third are people you don't know at all. And there's other activities that you need to do to reach that final third. So that's the standard way. But I am talking because Charmaine and I know these people very well. You do get people who don't know anybody in their target audience. And that's a little bit harder. But if you've identified who your target crowd is, then actually tracking them down and reaching out to them, it becomes much more straightforward.
The other piece I'll add to that is when we think about our community or our crowd, it exists in many ways. So we have our social media crowd, and many of us as authors, we have our personal social media following. We have our more business or book or writing community. Then we might belong to other associations. Maybe we belong to a writing club, or maybe we have contacts through a publishing company that we might be working with, or even just the community groups that we belong to. So the community can be layers upon layers. What's really important is what Victoria said about knowing who are your readers. the people who are going to buy the book. And one of the things that we hear all the time, and I'm sure you do as well, is when you ask, who's your book for? Well, it's for everyone. Everyone could benefit from my message. And it is almost impossible to market to everyone because it becomes watered down. And it feels like kind of just tossing spaghetti on the wall to see what's going to stick. Instead of what Victoria is talking about, which is more this defined audience, even if your following is very small, you can build that audience. And we're seeing authors that we're working with who had small audiences that are starting to build their audiences because we go out and tweet or Facebook or put a LinkedIn message and our audience becomes interested in their book title or their crowdfund. And that's where it becomes really powerful. It's kind of like the old, I don't know if this is a shampoo that everybody knows, but I remember when I was growing up, there was a shampoo called Pert, and it was always like, and you can tell someone and they can tell someone and so on and so on. That's the beauty of crowdfund, is that other audiences also become attracted to the author's campaign and book.
Mm-hmm. Go on, Victoria.
And I was going to say, and that's the thing about finding your niche. And actually, I love the spaghetti one. I always say spray and pray. But I think actually the throwing spaghetti is a better example. But it is like that, because if you are niche, then that book title is going to speak to people, yeah. Whereas and it's going to resonate with people. And what you have is going to, and then the people are going to love it and they're going to tell their friends about it. Whereas if it's sort of aimed at everybody, it's going to be plain vanilla. And it's going to sit on the bookshelves. And I know Charmaine always says to me that the average number of books sold is 500 copies or something like that.
It changes. I know I read a report last year and they said about 250 books, and I've heard 500, and my publisher told me even less than that. Mm-hmm. And which is why it's so important that we think about marketing and promoting and building our audience throughout the year. It's not just a, you will launch it and they will come. You know, it's not like that, right?
Okay. Oh, thank you for that phrase, because that is so true.
It is, you know, with anything, but yeah, certainly with books. And as you're speaking, well, a couple of things are coming up for me, but one of them is like with crowdfunding, like your crowd, your people are going to feel more invested and involved in your book because, you know, they're not just kind of liking a post on social media. They're making a choice to like invest a small amount of money to kind of support you and the book. So they really, I guess, become like your cheerleaders on the journey and as the book makes its way into the world.
Exactly.
Oh, you're just saying all these magic words to me. So, you know, I love it. So yes, absolutely. So usually when you go into a store, you see a picture and everything, and if you're lucky, you can go to a signing of a book. But through crowdfunding, because it is a long planning process, you build the relationship over time. You know, we always hear the classic thing of you need to hear something 7 times before you act on it. Because we live in such busy lives now, it's 21 times. Mm. So one of the things that we highly recommend is, you know, getting people into a drip campaign, so getting a series of emails. Mm. And through that, you can do things like put a paragraph of your book in, or put a précis of your book in. You can put yourself in, you can give your backstory. So this gives a chance for people to get to know you, something that they wouldn't normally do. And it's really powerful. But then as the author, you also get a chance to say, hey, thank you for backing my campaign. I've now raised X. I've now been able to get my cover professionally designed. She's come back to me with this design and this design. Mm. Which one do you like? Mm. And then the crowd gets to vote your cover and you get free market research. I mean, how much of a win-win is it? Because as somebody getting that email and seeing those two designs, they're going to go, wow, I am so invested in this book because I'm getting to choose the cover. How often do readers get to do that? Mm-hmm. But on the author's side, it's like, oh, I really like that cover. And then everyone comes back and likes the other cover. Well, you've just saved yourself so much time, effort, and money. Exactly. Because your target audience has told you that is the cover that they like. So, you know, the benefits are immeasurable.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And would you recommend like starting the crowdfunding process as early on as possible?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I've been crowdfunding for 10 years. This year's actually, no, it's, I did my first crowdfund about 10 years ago. And then I've been supporting organizations crowdfunding for the last 9.5 years. And we've developed a process. And our process is 90 days preparation to run a campaign for 30 to 45 days. In Europe, it's about 30. In North America, it's about 45 days. And it's exactly that. Part of it is, as we've been discussing, identifying your target audience and really prepping everything up. You need to find where that target audience lives. And I mean, metaphorically, you know, if you're going for the young adults, perhaps you might need to hop onto TikTok or Instagram Lives. You know, if you've got a business book, then you might be going onto LinkedIn. You might be wanting to write thought leadership pieces so that you're building up your profile. And all you're doing in that preparation time is collecting emails. You want to collect as many emails as possible and start drip feeding them that content to get them all excited. And then once the campaign goes live, you flip and you want to tell everybody about the campaign and direct everybody there. Mm-hmm. So that process, and this is, even if you were, you know, if there's anybody on here who runs a business and this is their full-time thing and they are putting a book in as part of their, you know, book writing process, even if you're doing this full-time, I still recommend 90 days. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it from the side of your desk, so you have a full-time job, but there's that book in you and you want to get it out there, you know, I would say at least 90 days, because if you don't put the preparation in, if you don't do the planning, then the day you launch, if you don't get traction, that's it. There's so much gamification in here. Mm. And the metrics that I always use, and actually it's an organization out of the UK called the Crowdfunding Center. They measure every single crowdfunding campaign in the world every day. And their metrics show if you do not hit 11% of your overall target on day one and a third, or if you do hit 11% day one and a third, 33% in the first week, you will hit your goal.
Wow.
If you don't, you've got to, you know, hustle to make it. So those are the two metrics that I'm always looking for. So you've really got to make sure that first third of people in your, that you know, those ones in those that email list, that they're going to come in on the first day. So that's why planning is so important.
Mm. Well, how do you encourage people to get in on the first day then? Like, are there any particular kind of strategies to do that?
Well, partly it's just getting them so excited about your book that they've got to have it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the excitement, building up the excitement. So at the end of that, so drip email, you know, you start to say, we're crowdfunding, you know, actually have to say crowdfunding, you know, and I'm a massive advocate for crowdfunding. But if your audience, if that's not going to resonate with your audience, or that could be a turnoff for your audience, you're just saying, you know, I'm launching early access. Or, you know, you can change the language around. Hey, you're storytellers. You're the experts at the language. This is not my expertise. I'll leave it to you guys. But, you can say that. And, it's coming out on this day. Be the first one. And then they will come in on the first day. You can also do things like have, you know, first day pricing, super early bird. So you might have the first 10 copies of your book. Say if your book is £10, you could have your first day, first 10 copies will be £5, you know, and make sure you're going to cover your costs.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you know, but you know, then you get people come in and say, oh, I've got the first 10 books. Woohoo. But then you can then send out an email going, the super early birds are gone. Why not get the early bird? And the early bird might be £8. And so it's still a good price. Mm. And and you might have 40 books at that. And then the early birds are gone. And there's a bit of FOMO. So people are like, I've got to get in there. And then you could say, you know, the crowdfunding price is £9. They're still saving a pound. So they're still getting a deal. It's a bit of getting the pricing right. So it's a motivator. So they're getting the early copy, they're getting a deal, they're getting to know you. There's huge value there, but that would be the way of sort of getting them in there. So yeah, lots of little tricks and games.
Yeah, there are. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Really? Well, sort of like if authors have ever launched a book before, you think about how you launch a book, you get your community willing to put out some social media tweets or make a mention in their newsletter or their blog. It's the same kind of strategy that I've done for our book launches for the last 12 years. So there's that piece. Another piece is that sometimes authors have charities that they're very passionate about, and they're willing to donate either a certain percentage of book sales or even books to that particular charity. So you could actually, to help ensure those that high traction on day one, is if you are working with a charity, ask for their support in tapping into their network, their social media. And that can be one of the big announcements that gets made on launch day of your campaign. And then there's also looking at who you know in the author community. Do you belong to a writing club or a book club? Would you be willing to ask them to all come out on the first day, even if they were to do a post like, I'm so excited for my friend Victoria, who's launching a book, and check this out. And it takes them to either the landing page or the crowdfunding page. But then there's also the element that you can start marketing your book before it's even written. That's what we did with my first book. I had 40. It was in the days of the blog talk radio, when that was really a big thing, which has been kind of replaced with podcasts to some degree. But I had about 40 blog talk radio shows and a number of media interviews, mostly radio and print. And when the book came out, it continued to hit bestseller on pre-sales because there were so many people talking about, when is this book coming out? And people start Googling. You can use that same strategy for crowdfunding. And you know, start doing the early podcasts, get written in other people's blogs, and make sure that you're doing a blog as well and put the link to your campaign. So, but again, if you leave it to the last minute, which is what a lot of authors have tried to do when they do crowdfunding on their own, they don't know all the critical elements and some of the secret sauce type information that Victoria teaches. And then what happens is not only is their crowdfund flat, but then we see authors running off to the next project. So they kind of leave the crowdfund open and nobody's visiting the page because the author has now left it to go on to something else in their life. And so it requires, that's the other piece, is putting time aside every day to make sure that once you have launched your crowdfund, to meet that next metric that Victoria talked about, putting updates in your crowdfunding campaign and in your socials and your newsletters, making sure you thank people. I've contributed to so many crowdfunds over the years for all different types of things, not just books. And out of all of them, only two have thanked me.
That's shocking.
So yeah. And then there's the big thank you at the end, you know, thank you. And it's the same copy paste email. That's the other way I've been thanked, is at the end of the crowdfund and everybody gets the same. These two particular, then the ones that thanked me were actually author campaigns. They went on and wrote beautiful posts about, you know, how we met, or I checked you out and I see you're passionate about this. Like, they actually worked really hard at building a relationship with me, which blew my socks off. And I think that's really important, is how you recognize people for supporting your campaign, because they're going to be more likely to support it again during your 45 or however many days you're doing it.
Of course. At the end of the day, it's all about relationships and connection and community.
Exactly.
So yeah. Oh, some great points there. Great points. I want to talk about perks, because Victoria, you mentioned perks at the beginning. So tell us about perks and how we can make this part of our crowdfunding campaigns.
Absolutely. So, you know, we recommend between 3 to 8 perks. You know, don't go too many, because people are paralyzed by choice. As I said earlier, we live in a busy world. So you want to have a range, and you also want to make sure there's a range of price points. So you might want to sort of have something relatively low cost, right the way up to perhaps a meet and greet. Or if you're a coach, you might want to bundle it with an hour session or something like that. So you can end up with something that's, you know, a few hundred dollars, a few hundred pounds on there. Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure there's something at multiple price points and different things for different people. So that's a very broad outline. I can see Charmaine nodding, so I'm going to let pass over to Charmaine because I know you have strong views on perks too.
One of the things we do at my company, Raise a Dream, is work with sponsorship and help authors get sponsorship. And crowdfunds, this is where Victoria and I have a lot of fun helping authors create crowdfunds, because you could actually bring in a sponsor into your crowdfund. For example, maybe a sponsor has a gift card and they're going to give 10 gift cards away of a certain value on that particular day. That could be an added bonus for the first 10 people that contribute whichever perk that you're assigning that to, also get this gift. And, you know, the sponsor might be helping promote that. You're celebrating them on social media. It creates a new level of buzz. So that's one way that perks can also be creative. And then one of the things Victoria teaches is around having stretch goals. Like when you reach your campaign goal, what else would it allow you to do? And those perks might then be different. And we work a lot with authors who might be speakers or coaches or content creators in other areas besides books. And there's an opportunity then to bring new perks in to help you accomplish that stretch goal, that new sort of level two of your crowdfunding campaign. From all the crowdfunds I've looked at over the years, what I have found is, and I know, Victoria, you teach this so beautifully, they have to be different enough. Sometimes authors will say, you know, for this perk, you get a book, a signed book mailed to you and a PDF version. And for this one, you get a book, that you get all of that, and then you get this. And it's almost like the same perk through the whole crowdfund with one little piece extra. And then people become overwhelmed or confused. And what I know to be true is that confused people don't say yes. They don't buy. And so it's sort of like, oh, I'll come back to this. Too many options. So you want to limit the number of perks that you have and make them different enough for people to understand which perk really speaks to them. And then you have to really look at the pricing of that. I know, Victoria, that's something you do a lot with clients, because we've seen people really underprice their perks, which then ends up costing them money to deliver the perk. So the crowdfund didn't really accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
Or they overprice it so much that people will just automatically default to the lowest perk possible. And so that's a really, that when you talk about the planning, Victoria, that's a big part of it, is looking at the perks and wiggling them down. Because most authors, like when we work with them, as they start doing the perks, all of a sudden there's 15, you know, and it's like you got to whittle them down a little bit.
I like to see a bit of a bell curve. So I want to see that middle priced one is actually the one that most people are going to go for. So people, if they want to dip the toe in, might go at the lowest end. People are really excited, might go at the highest end, but you want people to come in the middle. And the other thing is, and the classic one, and this happens in all campaigns, especially what we call rewards campaigns, where you're getting the perks, is death by t-shirt. So, you know, people go, oh, I'm going to do a t-shirt because I want everyone wearing a t-shirt about my book. And you've got to think about, even with print on demand, even with everything, you've got to think of the cost to fulfill. So you've got to think of, what's the cost for that t-shirt? What's the cost of getting that t-shirt? You know, and you've got to get the right size. You know, you've got to get the right shape. You know, are you going to have male and female t-shirts or unisex t-shirts? You've got to, you know, got to ship them out. There's so many costs that actually t-shirts, so that you actually make some money, because ultimately you're not wanting to make, you know, that you're wanting to make money to pay for the book. Mm-hmm. So if you do a t-shirt, you're probably looking at least, you know, $25, you know, £18 just to break even. So then you've got to have it as a perk, you know, $30 to make a little bit of money. it doesn't always make sense unless there is a reason, you know, you're trying to have that, then, you know, don't go down that death by t-shirt. Just one top tip, hats. And they probably wouldn't work so well in Europe, but but baseball caps, which work better in North America, people are like to wear and they're one size. So that's one option. Right. And the other thing is with a book, think of the weight of the book, because if you want a lightweight book, you go for crappy paper. But do you want people to have crappy paper books, or do you want to have better quality weight? And there's a number of platforms out there. And you know, one of the platforms that we recommend actually charges the shipping for the books separately. And that takes so much pressure off you as an author, because you can have your perk. And actually, I say books, but it's any item. And then the shipping is done completely separately. So if you're sending it to Outer Mongolia or to Southampton or to Toronto, you know, the shipping is worked out by the platform, and you're not stuck with it, because we've heard of some horrible cases where you've got to pick and pack. So, you know, this person wants one book, you've got the signed book, so you've got to sign them, you know, you wrap it all up and then you ship it out. You've got to think of your time for that. You've got to think of your shipping costs. So to be able to keep that separate is a real benefit. And unfortunately, a lot of the big players don't do that. So, you know, that's one of the things to look at with the platforms.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so much to think about. I mean, I am in. This sounds amazing. I'm like... I've always been intrigued by crowdfunding, but you know, the both of you have just got me really fired up. I mean, it just feels like the perfect solution, because I think creating community is so important as an author or anyone who's like sharing their work with the world, and crowdfunding just feels like a really great way to harness the power of that and create more community. So wonderful. Like, tell us how we can get started. I know you're offering some like free and low cost resources to the people listening in to bring your book to life. So can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. Well, Victoria and I love working with authors, and we find that authors need to really understand crowdfunding to be successful. So we put together a series of workshops online that are free, so people can join from around the world, and we'll make sure that that link gets out to you. We have some coming up very soon, and we offer those throughout the year. And then our low-cost program we have is a deeper dive into understanding the key steps to crowdfunding campaigns for authors. So looking at a lot of that, what happens in the preparation phase that Victoria talked about, and what are the mistakes that happen a lot in author crowdfunds so that you don't avoid them, or that you don't make them, you want to avoid these mistakes. And there's a lot. Victoria actually does a lot of research on author crowdfunds to see how authors are approaching their crowdfund, and she'll often critique them. And we see the same mistakes happening over and over again. Just they look a little different based on the genre of the book, but it's essentially the same mistake. So we want people to avoid those mistakes so that they meet their targets and actually exceed them. So that's what we're doing in our lower cost program, is helping people dive deeper and starting to get in the mindset of planning, so they know what they need to do by when and how to at least get them into action. Because that's the key part, is we just have to start.
Always. Thank you. We'll make sure that the links are on the speaker page so that people can click through easily. Brilliant. I know there's going to be a lot of people who are really interested in taking this further and exploring it some more. So thank you both so much, Charmaine, Victoria, for being
You're very welcome.
Part of
thank
bringing
you.
Thank you. Oh my goddess, what an inspiring conversation. Like, so much goodness to take away from that. Please make sure that you visit the Bring Your Book to Life speaker page to find out more, and a little bonus piece of homework for you. I would love it if you could hop on over to Instagram and share what your biggest insight, takeaway is from that interview, like what you're feeling inspired, what action you're feeling inspired to take after listening, you can find me at Nicola Humber. Please do share a post or a story, tag me in and tag our speaker in using the hashtag Bring Your Book to Life, and let us know what you are taking away from that interview. Join the conversation. Here is to bringing your book to life. I'm really excited to see what comes through in your writing and how your book evolves throughout the rest of this year. Thank you so much for listening.